Now I see how John the Baptist must have felt when he decided to empty his church, when he spotted the Messiah who says that whose shoes that he was not worthy to stoop and to touch, when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world," and that he decided to empty his church and said, "Follow him. I'm just the one who points. He is the one who is to save." Amen. Thank you, Brother Merrick, for such a moving selection. Acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit to our host pastor, Andrew Foster Connors, I want you all to know that the two of us, we are going to heaven because we are from North Carolina, so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. To all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's good to be in this place at this hour of the day. The sun is shining, far different from what took place on Monday as well as Tuesday. We're thankful to the Almighty God for making it possible for us to assemble this day at this hour, to share in this second watch of our Lenten journey. Amen. Now, I want to make something very clear that the last I checked, and I left Providence about an hour and a half ago, that my name was still up on the announcement board as co-pastor. Baptists have a tendency of can call a meeting in a minute, and the pastor can be out in the next few minutes. Surely, I want you to understand there's no conspiracy here because of the pastor, the Reverend Dr. Eric King is not here, that something is going on. But please know that the last I checked, my name was still there. Hallelujah in the morning. Amen. I call your attention to the passage read so movingly by Reverend Connors. And I call your attention to the first and second verse of chapter 4. It reads from the New Revised Standard Version, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. When the tempter comes." With Ash Wednesday still fresh upon my personage, I did not realize how quickly the tempter would seek to turn my vision to impairment, that I may not see God more clearly, turn my hearing into deafness, that I may not hear him more clearly, and harden my heart, that I may not love him more dearly. After the services on last Wednesday, we entered the assembly hall here at Brown's, where we were greeted by such gracious hosts. But when I sat down for the fellowship by way of meal, I was slapped in the face with green beans bathed in a delectable sauce. As a matter of fact, Calhoun asked to have some to take home. He just walked in the door here. We had baked beans that had already been delicately shared in ham, and we had spiraled ham, rolls, and corn muffins, and an unspeakable dessert. As I sat there, I said, now I understand how Jesus felt after his baptismal experience, that the Spirit immediately led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the tempter. After the dove, there came the devil. After the benediction of heaven, there came a battle with hell. And I realized just how difficult the journey would be even for me. As you exercise such spiritual practice, be aware and warned that the tempter will come and the fight is on. Let me make this public announcement. I hate the tempter. I was not going to use the word hate because it's such a strong word, but I think for this purpose it is fitting. Well, I hate the devil. He represents everything that goes against what is good. I hate the devil. He has no respect. He will show up uninvited, unexpected, and yes, unwelcomed. As a matter of fact, I run into a few demons daily. I'm sure you as well may have had a run-in of two or three. I hate them because they come disguised in ways that makes you think God and good is present. As I move about in the city, he catches me while driving. He shows up at my home, and he has the gall to show up even at church. Oh, help me, somebody. Story is told of a gentleman who was on his way to church, and as he approached the church, he found Satan on the outside sitting on the steps crying. And the man asked the devil, why was he crying? The devil said, those church folk are lying on me. I'm the father lies and they're lying on me. The man said, well, lying on you? The devil said, yes. He said, what lie are they telling? And he said, they are saying that I didn't come to church this morning. I always come to church. Sometimes I'm on the choir. Sometimes I stand with the ushers. Sometimes I sit with the deacons. And other times I count money with the trustees. I always come to church. I wish they would stop telling lies on me that I didn't come to church. Help me, somebody. He showed up uninvited in Adam and Eve's neck of the woods, known as the Garden of Eden, in the disguise of a serpent. And Job tells us that when the sons of men came together to present themselves to God, that Satan also came along with God. And God asked him, where have you been and what he had been up to? Satan responded, I have been up and down in the earth, seeking whom I may devour. Now we find Satan, who crosses over into the New Testament, pops up in the Gospels to eradicate the eternal by tempting the Son of God. You and I, throughout this period of Lent, will have our moments with the tempter. Whether you are giving up something, whether it's chocolate, ice cream, potato chips, coffee, pork rinds, or the such, or you may be taking on something, whether it's to lose a few pounds, affecting some good in the community, be a better steward with your time, talent, or treasure, the tempter will come. And whatever the desire may be, the tempter will come to tempt you, test you, and try you. But I have some good news. When the tempter comes, you can overcome. A few things I can give you to encourage you, then I will be finished. The first, when the tempter comes, understand that the one who sends you will sustain you. The text tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. to appreciate the story and understand the text, one would have to backspace the third chapter where we find Jesus, who has just been freshly baptized by John the Baptist, and God sends his favor in the fashion of a dove. He is getting ready for the devil after having sweet benediction pronounced on him from heaven by God, who turns on the public address system of eternity and says, "This is my beloved son, who I am pleased." In the opening verse of chapter 4, he is thrust into hell to do battle with the devil. Simply put, God sends him into the wilderness to be tested. This is the God who identified Jesus as the son of, as his son, and was well pleased with him. And you and I will be placed in some wilderness setting by God's permissive will for the stress purpose of being tested. And I had to come to learn that as I read the text closer, it says that after the 40 days were up, the tempter came. My God, I'm not even a week into this journey, and the devil has already been hot on my tracks. Do I have anybody here who can say, "Yes, I know what you mean"? I am of the mindset that if God sends you, then he will sustain you. He will give you what you need to get you through. Every Sunday when the benediction is given, we are thrust into the world where Satan has been busy building his kingdom, raising hell, wreaking havoc on the lives of God's people, creating chaos and confusion. And his kingdom needs to be brought down. Nations are against each other. There are wars and rumors of wars. And yet when the wilderness week dished out more than one can take, they knew where to go to get what the devil took. When anyone stated, "I'm going to church," they were saying more than what they probably gave thought to. It acknowledged one's placement when the world displaced them. No matter what the week had in store, how trying the times, how much one partied on Friday and Saturday nights, come Sunday, one raised from the drunken stupor, hung up the trials of the week, and they came to church. The church has served as a source of strength and continues to be a source of strength. It has come to be the old landmark for many pilgrims. It has been a hospital for the sick, a haven for the homeless, a shelter from the stormy blast, a political platform for activists waging war on injustice, a light in the midst of darkness, yes, a bridge over troubled waters, bread when I'm hungry, water when I'm thirsty, strength when I'm weak, a solid rock when everything around me is sinking sand. No other institution, past, present, or to come, can match or supersede the church. The church keeps us connected, rooted, and spiritually grounded. Therefore, the one who sends us, he will sustain us. That's why I just can't help but to get to church on Sundays, because I need it to get through Mondays and Tuesday, and then somebody says Hump Wednesday comes, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Oh, I need the church to continue to sustain me in my journey against the tempter. But when the tempter comes, not only the one that we hold dear will sustain us, but when the tempter comes, one who tempts cannot touch you. Jesus had some alternatives placed before him. He could have fulfilled his desires, but he stuck to God's will. He could have sought power and glory, but his focus was to serve God as Lord of all. He could have took on the tempter's attempt to be a tempter himself by putting God to the test, by wanting God to act on our terms. And I wonder how often we have done that. "Lord, you need to do what you need to do. When I say, do what you need to do." Each time Satan sought to entice Jesus with his abilities, he used scripture to twist, discount, discredit, and dismiss truth. He sought to get at him where he was vulnerable or where he placed his passion. Satan uses what has been declared in the third chapter, since you are the Son of God, whom your heavenly Father is well pleased, then speak a word. He played on three things: his palate, his position, and his power. He sought to play on his palate. Turn these stones into some biscuits. Think about it. Jesus could have made such a miracle to happen. I mean, think how many starving people he could have fed with the power of turning, stones into bread. He sought to play on his position, showed him the kingdom of the world, which could be his if only he could worship Satan and Satan only. And Jesus could have took on Satan's offer to have the kingdoms of this world. He could have ended ISIS terror threats. He could reverse the economy of our nation. He could regulate gun control. He could eradicate the abuse of substance and turn it into good use for the health and well-being of humankind. He could easily replace the vacant seat of the Supreme Court justice vacated by the death of at least it could have turned down the volume of conservatives who feels a seat need to be filled by the next president. Help me, Holy Ghost. He would have put in place the next leadership of our nation into the president's seat without the citizens wondering which direction our nation is headed in. Kingdoms of this world. Well, why would Jesus want the kingdoms of this world when the world belonged to him? How could Satan give him what already belonged to him? He sought to play on his power source. He brought him to church. Lord have mercy. God has given you some power. See if it works. Try it out. Do a bungee jump off the church steeple. See if God will send angels to protect you. I mean, Jesus could have used his power base to prove that the God whom the church represent can do some spectacular things. He could have set up lines in the church. Okay, those who have knee replacement, line up over there. Those with back problems, line up back there. And those who are having some serious rheumatism, get behind me. He could have eradicated all of this. He could have shown such power. Sounds reasonable, right? Boy, that would have put the medical field out of business. That is to say, Satan tries to put a grip on you and me. There was much to persuade and deter Jesus from his passion, but he held on. In other words, don't forget who you are and who has brought you this far. Don't let the hell surrounding you take you out of heaven. Be not conformed to the Satan's schemes, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't lose the faith. Don't deny your faith. There are moments when mess will be at its greatest, moments when faith will be tested, moments when it seems you are losing and Satan is winning, but keep the faith. Trouble don't last always. Don't let the devil force you out where the Lord has placed and planted you. Don't let anyone uproot you from your faith. I hear the hymnologist pen the words, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight valiantly onward, evil passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior, yes, to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And I heard Paul say, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. With the testing, he will provide the way out. The tempter can't touch you because God has a claim on you. I'm God's child, so don't mess with me. And then thirdly and finally, when the tempter comes, if you hold out, the holy will get the hell out. Help me, Holy Ghost. Each time the devil confronted Jesus with scripture, Jesus came back with scripture. He said, mortals shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. He said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the last was, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every little test, he left until an opportune time. Now, I must warn you, my brothers and sisters, that when the tempter leaves, rest assured, he will return. Oh, yes, I have any witnesses in here? He showed up when Peter was trying to protect his master from enduring such suffering, and Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. He showed up at the Last Supper by persuading Judas to sell his friend for 30 pieces of silver. He showed up and animated those who stood in the crowd when Jesus was being tried and condemned and shouted, crucify him. He showed up on the cross when a thief hanging with them told him to save himself and then by coming down from the cross. He showed up thinking that he was taking the Savior's life, but he forgot on the third day morning. He trusted God to wake him up. And according to Matthew and Mark's account, we are told suddenly the angels came and waited on him and gave him strength. And what you go through can take a lot out of you. You wrestle, you struggle, you agonize, and in such experiences, it leaves us drained, tired, and exhausted. We expend our emotional, physical, and psychological, and spiritual resources. Witness the moment of Jesus and the requirement of God. He passed the test. He passed the test. He passed the test. I'm sure Jesus got up and did the holy dance. Yes, he passed the test. And we're told, according to Luke's version, that when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And what I've learned on this journey is the tempter will return, but you can overcome. Jesus had the power to overcome. Evil came to test him and lead him to his fate, but he knew that a greater good was at the end of his journey. You see, what he started out with, he ended up with it. For in the first verse of that chapter, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Oh, yes, he overcame because he had something on the inside of him to sustain him, that the devil couldn't touch him. He has something on the inside. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I believe Jesus had the Spirit as he stood before his accusers. I believe he had the Spirit as he stood trial. I believe he had the Spirit who gave him strength to endure the flogging. I want to believe he had the Spirit as he crossed, as he carried his cross. I believe he had the Spirit when they nailed his hands and his feet to that tree. I believe, I tell you, he had the Spirit who hung on him high. Yes, I just want to believe that he had the Spirit when he gave up the ghost. I just want to believe he had the Spirit while he took his nap in the tomb, and the grave refused to hold him, and he refused an extended stay, for he got up and checked out on Sunday morning. Someone said he turned a manger into a crib and a cross into a throne. Someone said a king feared him and learned men were confused by him. They said he was homeless and yet so many offered him a place to stay in the house. They said that nature obeyed him when he spoke peace, be still, and that Satan could not seduce him. They said he never wrote a book and yet all the libraries in the world cannot contain the books about him. They said he never composed any music, but the birds had to hush their singing for men and women to compose a hymnal that every song is written about his grace. Yes, you can overcome because you have the Spirit. You can overcome. But when the tempter comes, for as long as there is a God, then there is a tomorrow. And as long as there is a tomorrow, there is hope. When the tempter comes, We have the Savior who overcame. The Holy Spirit will see you through. Keep on keeping on. Keep on traveling the road of Lent. Keep on keeping on. And I'll meet you at Calvary's cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm going to run on to see what the end will be. And now I can't wait to get to Calvary. And now, thanks be to God, I'll see you at Calvary. Amen.